All right, so this week in tournament coverage, we just had one GT level, no majors this particular week. So we go across the pond to Merioda, England, talk about the Seven Circles of Hull. Yep, nice little pun there. I know Hull's a major city. Of course, my geography of England is horrible. I can't remember since I played Kingmaker from Avalon Hill. I'm not sure where Hull is, so I apologize. But very interesting event, so I want to go through the top eight. Interesting mix of teams, as well as also using the new ITC champions missions, and the scores are quite interesting and very telling of what's going on. So in 8th place we had Harvey Plows with Astra Militarum. In 7th place, Ben Tilford with Tau Empire. In 6th place, Toby Meadows with Grey Knights. And here's another one I was talking about. When he won, he was averaging 36 points per mission. And the games that he lost, he got 19 and 11. So it's either win big or lose big. I thought it was very interesting to see that, especially with a Grey Knights list. In 5th place, Kyle Grundy with Tau Empire. Another gentleman scoring lots of points, especially in his early rounds, a 33 and a 38-point victory. And his one loss was 0 points. So didn't work out for him on round one there. In 4th place, Thomas Dutch, I believe is how we pronounce that. We're going to go with that to keep our FCC clean rating. And he was playing Chaos Demons, also going 4-1. In 3rd place, Christopher Cockburn, Deptus Ministorum, also going 4-1. 2nd place, Thomas Layton, playing Ultramarines, also 4-1. And your lone 5-0 player, by the way, listen to these scores, by the way, 42, 35, 36, 28, 34. So not only is he's winning by big margins. So James McKenzie with, you heard it here first, folks, Tyranids. So Ray, what's in a winning Tyranid list?
So he brought three different attachments. The first one was a battalion detachment of Hive Fleet Kraken, made up with a Broodlord, a Hive Tyrant with wings, and he went with a Venom Cannon there with the one set of arms, two units of Gene Stealers, one 19, the other was 15, a 19 pack of Hormigaunts, a Lictor, a Carnifex. He went with the two Devourers with the Brain Leech Worms on that. Then another battalion of High Fleet Kronos, made up of two Neurothropes, three-man Ripper Swarms, and then 30 Termagants, 20 with Devourers, 10 with Flesh Borers. And then he finished it off with a spearhead attachment from High Fleet Kronos with a Malanthrope, a unit of Hive Guard with Impaler Cannons, three Biovores, and an Exocrine. That's totaling out 2,000 points and 10 command points.
So right when I heard Kronos, I'm thinking, okay, Anti-Psyker, and right when I look at his last three games, the last three opponents that he played, so he played Toby Meadows, Grey Knights, he played Thomas with Chaos Demons, another heavy Psyker army, and then last but not least, he played Tom Layton with Ultramarines. So two out of his last three opponents, heavy on the Psychic list, probably ever shut them down. And I can't remember off the top of my head, High Fleet Kraken is the... Roll two dice, take the highest when it comes to advancing, or are they the fallback and shoot? Can't remember who they were.
Kraken, yeah, they do the roll three dice and then pick the highest.
Got it. So an interesting mix of, you know, two detachments that do two very specific and very different roles, and both of them pretty much, you know, worked their way into the blender of what was at this particular tournament. When you look at, you know, maybe that's how you get, like, a, you know, Kyle did a great job playing Tau, but maybe that's not having, relying on psychic powers. You've got two Tau players in the top eight. It's one way to see where they landed. Scrolling down, you know, Aldari, did highest Aldari player was John Partridge at 13th. Interesting. Chaos, highest ranking Chaos player is 14th with Matt Walker. And then after that, a Mark Ward at 18th place. So, which is very different from the American meta, where it's almost dominated by Chaos Soup.
Yeah, so I don't know if they have something going on when it comes to how they decided. They may have it where you have to have a battalion before you can do anything else. Don't know, because we can't look at really any of the other lists. But there is definitely something slightly different about, because we've seen this in the other GT we discussed in up in Scandinavia area, where it's definitely a very different meta than what we see here, especially in the west coast of the United States.
Yeah, very different. So it's curious to see that, and you know, who rises to the top. So, but again, congratulations to all our winners, including James McKenzie, as your 2017 Seven Circles of Hull champion. All right, we're back in our discussion point of the episode here. And if you may have noticed, but it's finally here. Chapter Approved is coming out this weekend. Pre-orders went up last weekend. But, of course, if pre-orders are up, that means there's leaks everywhere. And the book is essentially out if you just scan even the easiest of websites. So Ray and I have had some interesting opinions of what's involved in Chapter Approved, and also seeing a lot of the opinions that we see online. So Ray, overall thoughts of Chapter Approved?
I'm a little surprised, first off, when I started hearing about it. I really thought it would be mostly focused on the stuff that we haven't seen. The codexes that haven't come out yet. Necrons, Dark Eldar, you know, not touch the newer stuff, just because, you know, the codexes have been out. I mean, we've seen FAQs where they'll discuss the points, but outside of that, they always focus on that more so than they have in the indexes. So when I started hearing about changes to Space Marines, you know, kind of threw me for a bit of a loop.
Yeah, I'm kind of mixed at this point, and I think it really isn't that it's a bad product or it's a great product. I think it's whenever... This is this new trend, by the way, when you go to business school, they come up with formulas for things that are not empirically measured. And for example, disappointment is the difference between expectation and reality, or perceived value. And I think, to your point, I think the community at the large, as well as myself, were expecting Chapter Approved is the match play annual edition of We're the Ones Who Will Bring Balance to the Force. And instead, it's actually a tremendous value. For $35, you're getting Apocalypse, Stronghold Assault, and Planet Strike, just to starters. Each of those were $50 books when they came out. And Apocalypse was across two books, and I have both of them. So I kind of went, okay, if I can get them all in one shot and play them in 8th edition, that's a bargain. But I think other people were expecting it's going to solve Smite Spam, it's going to solve this, it's going to solve that. And some of the things were like a tournament that happened 2 weeks ago that we and I discussed. Oh, it'll be fixed and Chapter Approved. I'm like, dude, that thing had to go to printers 6 to 8 weeks ago. There's no way they could have gotten all that fixed. So I think the reality wasn't quite there at this point.
I do just want to say real quick, I've been talking to Don, and from what I've heard from him, they are addressing Spite Spam in this. I don't know if that's true because I haven't seen the page myself, but from what I've heard, they are.
Well, that's good. I have not seen it. It hasn't leaked yet. Maybe it's going to come in an FAQ. For example, the Yanari update came out of left field, but it works, and we'll move on. And so maybe if it doesn't happen in Chapter Approved, long and short of it, GW has been very responsive. So just because your answer, not you specific, Ray, I'm talking you as you know, the populace, didn't get answered in Chapter Approved doesn't make Chapter Approved a bad thing. I think it's pretty awesome and for what they're coming out with, and it does cover quite a bit of ground. So it should be... And again, it's a $35 book. That's a pretty good bargain compared to what we've seen in even just 1 or 2 years ago.
Yes. I think 1 or 2 years ago, this probably would have been a $50 to $60 book.
Oh, easily, easily. And hard bound with a silly bookmark, that's completely useless. So anyway, so what else is in the book? So a couple episodes back, we talked about what warlord traits and stratagems and a few other upgrades were coming and relics were coming to each of the armies that are still in index form. Guess what? We were mostly right. Yay! Praise the rumor gods. So we're not going to go over them again at this point. However, the biggest surprise was the point changes. And Ray, you've got some insights on there are several point adjustments to some key units, not just GW, but also Forge World units.
Well, I mean, we got big ones all across the board. One of the big ones that were talked about was Gilliman. He went up from 360 to 385 points. We've seen some of the Terminators go down in price. Let's see, one of the things a lot of people were happy about was actually the Malefic Lord.
Yes, if I remember right, he went from 30 points to 80 points.
Yeah, he went from 30 points to 80 points.
So right off the bat, if you have your list, you just saw your Malefic Lord count cut by, cut to a third of what it is now. So, wow.
Yeah, so if people want to keep bringing as many as they do, they're definitely going to have to drop other points somewhere. So will they do that, or will they cut how many Malefic Lords that they run? Well, we'll have to find out. A lot of the stuff we've seen is for Space Marines, of course, the various kinds.
And kind of made a joke with Brandon in our interview with Brandon Miner. Primaris Marines pretty much dropped in price, except for the, is it the Hell Blasters? I forgot one. That's the popular one.
The Hellblasters didn't change points.
Yeah, everybody else did, I think. Dropped down. So, and it's interesting, they also kind of cleaned. One of the things I just got to say, because I've complained about this for eons, when there was a Space Marine drop, by the way, the corresponding Chaos Space Marine War gear dropped as well. Used to drive me nuts that a Loyalist Power Fist costed less than a Chaos Power Fist. I'm like, they do the same thing. Why are they different point values? So, yes, your Chaos Terminators now have, I think, 12 or 14 point Power Fists or something like that. It's crazy.
Well, we're seeing some of the changes for the war gear, of course, match the index. We've seen some ad mech changes. The tech priest went down 10 points. Both the Rangers and the Vanguard dropped down a point, which is interesting because I think they went up a point or two when they went from the index to the codex anyway.
It's cool. It's like the stock exchange, up one, down one.
Conscripts are up to 4 points now. In Astra Militarum.
Yeah, a lot of people online are saying that might be the nail in the coffin for conscript spam. That is really no reason not to play infantry squads if you're playing Astra Militarum.
Chaos Space Marines, we're starting to see some stuff. One of the things you don't really see too often are the mutilators, which are the hand-to-hand combat version of the obliterators. They dropped them down 8 points apiece, down to 42.
I missed that. That's a quite a hefty drop.
Plague Marines dropped down 2 points. So we're also seeing some points increase. The Forge World Blight Drone went up 31 points to 170. We're definitely seeing price increases for Forge World. For instance, the Hellforge Cerberus Heavy Destroyer, it went up 180 points to 650.
If I remember right, the Revenant Titan from Eldar went up, I think, almost 500 points or maybe even more than that. It's now a 2,000 point model, and I want to say it was either 1,200 or 1,500 points. But basically, it fit in a 2,000 point army. I know that because someone played that in one of our local tournaments, and now it's, standalone 2,000 point model.
Yeah, a lot of the Titan, a lot of the very large ones, the big Titans, they've gone up a lot in points. We can go to the Imperial stuff, the larger Titans. The Reaver went up 1,600 points.
Woo.
It's now a 4,000 point, unit. The Warhound, 2,000 points. The Warlord, 6,000 points. That went up 2,000 points. You know, that's of course the same for Chaos. They are the same. We've seen as the giant Lord of Change from Forge World.
The ABC Chicken.
Yes, the ABC Chicken. He has gone up 800 points. He is now 1,500 points.
It's so hard to wrap your brain around, but again, that model with its myriad of rules was so hard to wrap your brain around. You kind of go, is that, you know, a nerf bat? Is that a right sizing? Is that not enough? I'm still not sure yet, looking at that thing, because that thing did so much. So
yeah. The in fact, the other greater demons had a points increase too, but I can't tell if it's a joke or not, because a part of me thinks that there's no reason for them to be pointed the way that they are. But I don't know. We've got Angrath, the Unbound. That's the corn one. He's now 888 points. For those of you playing the home game for Chaos, yes, 8 is corn's number. They did the same thing for Scabathrax, the bloated, which is Nurgle, 777. And Zarakynel, which is the Slaanesh one, is 666 points. Why? Because, well, 6 is Slaanesh's number. I can't tell if they're serious here or if they're just having a little bit of fun, since people don't... I don't really see those ones on the field anyway.
I've seen Scabathrax. I just saw somebody running Scabathrax with Mortarion. And I was like, ooh, that's frightening. And I tried to run the Slaaneshi one, and it just doesn't fit my playstyle. I'm not saying she's a bad model. I just couldn't make it work with the other models that I had. It just became such a bullet magnet, and there's a reason why she's 600 points, while Angron's up to, you know, 800, 900 points. So it's like, okay, whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, and it's one of those, and then it gets into these other things about, you know, do they even have a place in a 2,000-point tournament game or not? But I think the long and the short of it is what you're hearing is with these gargantuan point changes, this is why Frontline Gaming was so adamant about the power level restriction. They're saying once Chapter Proof comes out, we're not going to have to worry about it. You know, power level 32 and higher being banned from ITC events is kind of a non-issue. Good luck shoehorning some of these units into your armies at 2,000 right. points.
Some of the other stuff has been kind of lackluster. The Necrons, they didn't really address... The only things that got addressed for Necrons were a couple of Forge World items. The Pylon and the Bomber. I've never seen the Bomber in play myself, but... Yeah, they're little changes at that. The Dark Eldar, the Drukhari. The big thing that they did, they pretty much just addressed the units that were part of the Court of the Archon. Then the Tantalus. That's the only thing that's really changed.
Yeah. I had to say, I was... Again, this is one of those trying to manage your expectations. Part of me says... I was expecting Craft World got 20% off pretty much every unit, so I was already planning on, okay, which, you know, this unit's going to go down by 2 points, this model might go down by the... And when I just saw, that's it? Where's the rest of it? Now, Slith's going down from 44 to 33 is pretty awesome. Basically, buy three, get the fourth one free, is how that works out. And that is pretty handy with the Warlord trait. Because what they can do now is you have a bodyguard, a force lith, and one archon. So it's 5 models. They fit into their private venom. And the problem that I always had with the archons is their warlord trait was simply, or their aura ability was simply, use his leadership. You gave away the rerolls to ones to hit. Well, now you can make him your warlord, and he's not only reroll ones to hit, but ones to wound. Which is something Dark Eldar need all the help they can get to get those wound, as many wound rerolls as possible. Suddenly, it gets pretty nasty because the Slith have a fair amount of firepower. They're not too shabby in close combat. They're multi-wound, so they can absorb some smites. And then, by the way, if you even happen to be out of position and your Archon gets smacked on a 2+, the Slith intercepts it any unsaved wounds and takes a mortal wound in its place. Which, by the way, oh, they got to feel no pain to stop that too. It's not bad, but it doesn't elevate the index back to where it was when the game was released, when everybody had an index. It's not quite there yet. So, same thing, Necrons. You know, I was kind of hoping for something to help them bring back their auto glancing hit type mechanic. Not there. So the only Solas, a friend of mine reached out to me and says, well, if they don't have, they had so little for Necrons and Drukhari, it's maybe because their codex is right around the corner.
Might be. They haven't announced anything else other than the first codex for 2018. But we'll see if they keep pumping them out the way that they have.
That is supposedly the plan. And then when I get into rumor, supposedly the last one will be July, and that will be Space Wolves. So we know Demons is the first in 2018. If Space Wolves is last, kind of slot your favorite codex in order there. But, yeah, I mean, I just saw the previews for the Blood Angels. We're going to wait till we get our hands on it before we talk about it. But the Blood Angels codex, I mean, I hate Blood Angels. They're by far my... Them and Guard are like my least favorite factions, and that codex looks awesome. I'm just like so angry. Just like, ah, where's my army? But just be patient. It'll come. So if it's your army hasn't come out yet.
Yeah. And outside of that, also the Harlequins, didn't see much there. They changed the Death Jester and the Harlequins weapons. The Caress and the Kiss.
That's a fairly subtle but effective change. So if you're a Harlequins player, there's this constant debate between the Caress and the Embrace. One is Strength 5, AP minus 2. The other one is Strength 4, AP minus 3. And it's like left Twix versus right Twix, peanut butter versus chocolate, or chocolate versus peanut butter. It's just internet debating sites just go on for days about this. Well, I can't remember which one was which anymore. The Strength 5, AP minus 2 one went down 2 points, 3 points, which at first doesn't seem that big of a deal, but when you are doing that four times per unit, it adds up very quickly. So and especially because Harlequins are already a very elite army, you can give your guys some, you know, pretty good muscle in close combat, and now you're doing it a lot cheaper. The Kiss also went down as well. I believe that's when it launches mortal wounds on a 6+ to wound. I can't remember what it did. I know in the old edition it was instant death. So I can't remember what it did. But that was like 15 points. So for that to come down 6 points is a big deal. And then last but not least, pair that with their two stratagems. If you don't remember from our previous episode, they got the Webway, so they can deep strike for a command point, one unit, or for 3 points, 3 command points, they can deep strike 2 units. And then they have a second stratagem where if they advance, they gain a 3+ invul save. And by the way, Harlequins naturally can advance and charge. It's crazy. So they got cheaper tools and more ways to get in your face quicker. So I think they got a pretty nice buff from what little came on to their side. They got quite a bit of nice stuff there.
Okay. We saw, well, for Tyranids, this is pretty interesting because, you know, they're the most recent so far. their Titan, the Hierophant, went up to 2,000 points. The Malanthrope went up 50 points to be 140 now. And then the Barbed Hierodule, which is their other Lord of War, went up 40 points to 420. We also see a bit of a change in their massive scything talons, in which case they're being dropped between 1/3 and 1/2 points.
Huh.
So that's quite the change.
That is quite the change. I have to absorb that before I make a comment. I really don't know what to make of that.
Hmm. Yeah. So this is, of course, only going to affect the large models. We're talking Tyrants, and I think Carnifexes for sure, quite possibly also, but some of the other ones that have the Because unfortunately, there's two different kinds of scything talents. There's the massive, and then there's monstrous. And to be completely honest, I don't have the codex to really be able to say what goes where.
Sure.
They do a small address on the Thousand Suns. They seem to like to keep raising the price for the Exalted Sorcerers, even though they've kind of been neutered a bit. They're just, at this point, they're mostly just sorcerers with one more wound. But despite that, we're seeing, 112 for on foot, or 146 if they're on a disc.
Yeah, I didn't get that one. I really didn't. I get the stratagems and warlord traits were pretty cool, but it's only one model or one unit. I didn't understand why all sorcerers across the board got such a large point increase.
Right, and another thing I was kind of surprised about is they didn't really address the Rubric Marines. We've got two different price points. We've got the Index one that shows up, and of course in Chaos Space Marines, they've got a different price point. But they still haven't explicitly said in rules content that you're supposed to use whether or not you're supposed to use the CSM numbers. I wish they would at least address it one way or the other, but they still haven't.
Yeah, they had some odd flowchart that they released, and it just made it more confusing.
So I've seen the flowchart. The problem is that addresses the what they call the data slate or the rules page itself. It does not in any way address points.
I see. Okay, I see what you're saying. It's the same data slate, just two different points. So, yeah. All right.
Actually, no. The data itself, the data slate itself did change. And it had to be pointed out to me multiple times before I finally believed it. No, it still doesn't address the points.
You're not in denial, Ray, are you?
I would really like to see the codex so that I could just get some confirmation on things. Moving on, we've got some changes for Death Guard. Nothing too special. They dropped the Death Shroud Terminator's points from 50 to 35. That might make people decide to start using them.
Yeah, that's buy two, get one free, basically. Yeah.
The Lord of Contagion went down 20 points. The Blightbringer dropped 5 points. The Plagueburst Crawler went down 10.
I don't understand that.
And unfortunately, the Blight Launcher went down 4 points, so now it's even easier to get your hands on one of those. There's quite a bit of Chaos Space Marine stuff, so really, it depends on what you want to play, whether it's really going to affect anything. One thing going through this I definitely notice is it seems like this isn't something that everybody needs to buy necessarily. If you're not looking for anything else other than the points, and you know someone who's going to buy it, you could probably go without buying it. But if you're one of those people who loves mission, who likes to play different missions, wants to do like narrative or other open play stuff, it's definitely something you should buy.
I agree. There's a lot in there. I mean, at $35, you're gonna find something.
Yeah.
I think gone are the days where I remember reading the same White Dwarf 7 times because I'm thinking there's had to be something in here. I just spent $6 on this magazine. And I can't find anything of value in here. There's something in there. You mentioned there's 12 new missions, 6 Maelstrom, 6 Eternal Wars, new missions. Curious to see what those are like. A lot of new Meredith things. There are campaign guidelines. There are some great new guidelines for Apocalypse. One of the key things I really wanted to read about, because I've only seen it mentioned but not spelled out, is let's say we're doing table one of my narrative event. I've got two players going over there, and then on table two I've got another game going on. Unfortunately, table two is now on turn four, and table one is now on turn two. How do I reconcile that to keep my narrative flowing? Because they're supposed to be fighting the same battle, they're just on different zones, battle zones, kind of they're in the north holding off the fort while the other table is supposed to be in the south of my world securing the star base or something like that.
Right.
So little things like that are, nice little gems. And okay, is that going to make or break your tournament season? No, but it having that all at one, like I said, I bought, five, six books to get all that material. I'm getting it in one book for $35. It's still a good deal. So I'm still thinking this is a good deal to get. It just, I think people kind of played up in their head. Everything will be fixed in one publication. I don't think that was realistic.
Really, I'm talking to the people who, they're the people who are complaining because, hey, I just bought this codex a month ago, 2 months ago. Why do I have to spend another $35 for updated points? If that's really all you're looking at that for, don't bother buying it. You know a friend who's buying it, just walk up and say, hey, let me write down what the points differences are, and move on. Keep playing the game. Don't let that be the reason that you stop or, move away from it. Because it's a lot better than what you that book is a lot better than what you think it is, whether you're going for all the extra stuff in it or not.
Right.
Just keep playing the game.
All right. So that's our coverage right now for chapter approved. Ray, anything else to add?
No, I think I pretty well covered what I'd like to talk about.
Awesome. All right, let's dive into our tournament coverage of the current ICC Top 10. All right, we're back with your ITC Top 10. Now, despite our very low number of tournaments this particular week, it appears that the guys at Best Coast Pairings have been doing some updates and got everyone's scores readjusted because there's a tremendous amount of movement in our Top 10. So let's get into it with no further ado. So dropping three spots from number 7 to number 10, Trent Northington is about 99 points behind the lead at this particular point. In ninth place, rocketing himself into the top 10 is David Johansson in ninth place. He's about 96 points behind the lead. Dropping 3.3 spots as well as Sam Henley with 88 points behind the lead. Sharply just right in front of him is Tyler DeVries. He's about 86 points off the lead, but also dropped three spots this week. Your defending 2017 ITC champion Matt Root also dropped three spots this week. He's 69 points from repeating himself as champion of ITC. The name that we were spending most of the summer talking about is Aaron Along. He actually moved up a spot and stays roughly 49 points out of the top spot and hanging tough there. But the person he's trying to catch at this particular point, and we knew his scores would go up, and it paid true. Brandon Grant, currently in fourth place. He moved up 5 places from ninth place and is now only 37 points out of the top spot. Last week's number one dropped from first place to third place. Nick Nottavati is now in third place, but also 33 points out of the lead. So you're looking at a pretty significant drop. And then number two, hanging at number two from last week, is Andrew Gagneau, also 31 points out of the lead. And your new number one player, you're trying to guess who it is from what we talked about last week. You're probably wrong because this guy was not even in the top 10 last week. But Tony Grappano vaults himself into number one on the ITC for this week with 714 points through 5 events. Just wow, just a big shakeup there in terms of how they're performing. Quick look at how Tony got it done. He played Asuriani in Adepticon, coming in second, 188 points there. Then he's been playing mostly Astra Militarum. He took first place at the Michigan GT, first place at the ATC Team Championships, and then first place at the Rampager GT, and then last but not least, he was first place at the Draxar Cup RTT playing Chaos. So 112 points, 126 points, 139 points, 148, and 188. That's how you get 700 something points in 5 games. So well played, sir. So we'll see. We got about 7 weeks before LVO. We'll see quite a bit more shifting in positioning in the top 10. But let's look forward to next week. Ray, what do we got for events next week?
Well, going down the list, we've got the first annual Team Tournament GT at the Gamers Haven in Spokane Valley, Washington. The Bourbon Brothers Holiday Bash at Heroes Comics and Games in Louisville, Kentucky. The Portal CT Winter GT 2017 at the Portal, Manchester, Connecticut.
I've been there. It's a pretty nice place.
And finally, going over to Europe, we've got the MFF Club Master Cup at Spleens Hus in Malmo, Sweden.
All right, thanks, Ray. Appreciate that. We'll be going over all those tournaments in our next episode. Meanwhile, I want to thank you all for listening to the Exterminatus podcast. My name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.